Okay, recording. Cool. All right, so you can all hear me? Yep.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to be doing a few different things today. So we're covering still a little bit of games. I'm going to tie in games towards the end. But we're going to be doing a lot with web development and a lot of hands-on. So we're going to be going to something called Khan Academy, K-A-H-N Academy, to do hands-on courses with HTML5, maybe a little bit of JavaScript, but definitely some CSS. So before we start, the first thing I want you to do is go here, this link. It's going to ask you to sign in. You can sign in one of three ways. You can sign in through Facebook, through Gmail, or you can just use your regular email, and it'll send you an email confirmation and then come back. I just use Gmail because it was the fastest way to do it for me. And what this will do is give you access. This will give you access to Khan Academy, which is like an online free programming resource. So take a minute, sign into Khan Academy. I see we have some new folks in here. I'm not sure if the text went through, but on the left-hand side here, we have Khan Academy. We'll be doing programming today. Please log into that, either through Facebook, Gmail, or your personal email address. Okay. We're good? Did everyone sign in? Yep. I'm going to assume the silence is yes, unless you say otherwise in the chat. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Okay, so I want to go over web development today because of how important it is. So have any of you done any kind of web development before, whether JavaScript, HTML, CSS? No. Okay.
No, I haven't done much.
Weldon has, okay. Yep, so web development is a bit different than what they'll typically call programming, right? If you're doing something in like C, C++, or Microsoft C# language, web development's a little bit different because it's not really one language. It's all about combining three different languages, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, how they all kind of come together to create one thing. And in the end, what you're actually looking at is going to be a website or a web page. So when the internet first started, when we first had browsers, Netscape Communicator was the first one. I'll show you an image of this. Oh, I forgot. I'm not sharing my desktop. Sorry. So desktop. It's going to present my desktop in just a moment. You know what? Actually, I've some PowerPoint slides for this talk. So when you see my desktop, let me know.
Yep, I see it.
Okay, perfect.
I see it.
So which one can we do? Try to go which talk I use here. Maybe I'll try this PowerPoint. I do a lot of talks on HTML5. Man, not this one. This is the one I'm currently looking at. I think I have one that might work a little better for you. This WebGL1 may work. Ah, okay. Yep, we'll start with this one. Perfect. Okay, so you can see my slide deck? Yep.
Yes.
All right. So it says intro to WebGL. Ignore that for right now. What WebGL is it allows you to use the graphics card inside your device, so it can be the graphics card in your laptop, your desktop computer, or even your phone. Most of these devices actually have a graphics card built into a little CPU that you have there. So what this will allow you to do is get really high performance and quick applications inside of even your mobile device. But we're not going to really be covering WebGL. I just want to use some of these slides. So first thing I want you to see here are the different kinds of browsers, right? So we have Internet Explorer, which Microsoft is about to replace with Edge. That's our new browser coming out with Windows 10. Mozilla Firefox, it's been around for a while now. We have Google Chrome. Which browser do you end up using most of the time? Just type it into the chat for me so I can see. We also have Apple's Safari, right, which is used just on OS X. We have Opera, which has a small market share. It's not everyone's using. Chrome, okay. Yeah, most Chrome, that's what I figured too. I end up using Chrome most of the time as well for a number of reasons. The first, one downfall of it is that it's an absolute resource hog, right? So you open up that browser, and if you do Control-Alt-Delete, right, so you can see your task manager. Let's see if I can pop it up here. You can see my task manager, right? So you can see Google Chrome has all these different instances running, right? It's a whole bunch of things. And we see my CPU is 38%. My memory is almost 50%. I'm not even doing anything on this machine, right? I'm not playing any games. I don't have Visual Studio or anything open. But most of this is coming from Chrome. Resource hog. So what happens is every one of those tabs you have on Chrome has its own, is what's called its own process. That means if one of those tabs crashes, all of Chrome doesn't crash, just that one tab. But on the flip side, the trade-off is that we have to use much, much more memory to do this. Another reason a lot of people aren't using Chrome is because of extensions, right? Maybe use something like a Facebook extension or Pocket so you can save links for later on. Right. Do any of you use extensions for Chrome? If you do, just throw it into the chat and maybe name one or two of them if you do use them. A lot of people use Adblock Plus. So all those extensions, also written in JavaScript, which we'll go over very shortly. Yeah, most people tend to use Adblock Plus. If you're not familiar with extensions, though, I'll show you really quick what it is. So you see my Chrome up here, right? The top right corner, you can see a bunch of extensions that I'm using. LastPass, I'm using Buffer for Twitter. I have OneNote, so I can quickly save images that I find on the internet in OneNote. I have Pocket, so I use Pocket basically to save links to things. So if I find a page that's interesting, I can right-click, hit Save to Pocket, and what that'll do is I can give it a tag. So I can say this is WebGL, this page. Say it's also JavaScript. And I'll say it's also web dev. I go to save, and then later on, I can go to get Pocket. Now what this will do is this will have all of my links from earlier saved. So really, really useful. And even better, I can get to this from any device, right? So if maybe I use Chrome on my laptop, and then I go to work and I have another laptop at work, I don't have to worry about using the same Chrome or whatever. I can just go to getpocket.com and I have all my information. So that's an example of an extension, and that is written in JavaScript as well. Back to these slides. You see you have a number of different browsers here. All of these browsers read that JavaScript, that CSS, and then HTML we're about to write. Yep, so... Yeah, you know, we'll leave that for now. Yeah, perfect. So leave that slide deck for now, and we will come back to something else. So let's see. What is HTML? So we have a lot of new people here, I'm noticing. Give me a second, I'll give you a link to Khan Academy, because I want you all to sign into that. So if you're new to the chat, go to that link on the left-hand side and sign into Khan Academy, because we're going to be doing some hands-on work in a little bit. But with HTML, we can see how web pages are put together. So, for example, let's go to something like, what is a fun website? Okay, let's go to modern.ie. Right, I do a lot of stuff with web development in Microsoft, so let's look at what this page looks like. So often, if you use a compiled language, something like C++ or C, when people go to create an application, they will build all their code together, and it's kind of in a locked box running on your operating system. With something like web development, it's not the same. We can peek at and see what everything is doing. So here on the modern.ie site, right, it's our site for Edge to show off what we're doing for web development. You can see I can right-click on just about anything. Like, let's look at this button. I can right-click, and I can go to Inspect Element. And you see this little thing popped up on the bottom here, right? So, right, you can probably see all this code on the left-hand side. So this pops up, and as I hover over it, you can see the colors changing in my browser up top. So that shows you exactly what I'm actually highlighting here. So I can say, okay, this is a link. It has a class applied to it. Here's a paragraph. I can click on any of these, and it'll bring me to that object. Even better, in the browser itself, I can hover over individual items here, and you can see toward the bottom of my page where all the code is, it starts to highlight the code that's relevant to it. I can look, this is all HTML, and what HTML is called hypertext markup language. Sounds much more complicated than it is. It's markup. It is the format and the layout of your page. That's all that HTML is. So use HTML to describe basically the outline of this document, because every web page essentially is nothing more than a document. When the browsers first started with Netscape Communicator around 1995, its sole job was to display documents and pages. We didn't think the web would have video and audio and games the way we do it now. So everything above and beyond a simple document are things that web developers have just hacked together over the years. So we have a document to just lay this out. If I disable all the CSS, that is cascading style sheets, those are the styles and the colors behind everything. If I disable all of that, we're going to have a page where everything's still laid out, but we may not see color applied to it or animations and things like that. Then the final part is JavaScript. And JavaScript is really what they say powers the web. It's like the duct tape of the internet that holds everything together. It was created exactly 20 years ago, as of May, by a gentleman who's now the CTO at Mozilla, Brandon Eich. And it was made as a way to have interactivity on the web. So for example, every time I click on something, if I go to click on this button here, it is going to do something. So it might bring me to this link, right? It says daveboyles.com, and it links to an article that I wrote. So when I go click on that, what happens is there's JavaScript behind the scenes. That JavaScript is going to go to a database and say, oh, wait a minute, we got to go back to this website. So the JavaScript is going to handle all that functionality, go get that site for me, and bring it back in. So I can see elements right here in the top left corner. This allows me to see how the page is laid out, but there's more. I can go to source, or sources. Go to sources, there's two more folders here. Right, we have scripts and styles. Scripts are your code, it's your JavaScript, and your styles are your CSS, your cascading style sheets. So I click on styles, and I can see somebody wrote a style sheet here. It's kind of hard to read inside of this. I agree. I don't think that they have a way of kind of cleaning this up or prettifying it. In Internet Explorer, we have a thing called Prettify Code. What that will do is this will make this so it's all readable and laid out correctly. But I don't think they have that in Chrome. Let me go over here to scripts. And yes, here's one big page they kind of just mashed together. So they kind of make this difficult to read, but it is, yeah, it is very easy to lay it out. So I'll look at the same thing. I'm going to open up in IE. what I mean. So dev.modern.ie, and we have our developer tools are called F12 developer tools. So let me pop these up over here. In the top right corner, this little cog, you hit developer tools. And here, you see our developer tools in the bottom. Looks very similar at first, right? So I can open this up, I can click on this and highlight different items on the page. And you can see how everything's laid out, right? Have these arrows that are appearing on screen, or the lines, to see exactly how everything is laid out. On the right-hand side, you can see all the styles, all the CSS that's being applied to this too, as well as where it's coming from. But I want to see some of that code I told you about before. So here, it's going to be, where did they recently changed this. Okay, so I can go to debugger. And I can go over here, and let's look at scripts. So browser tools. I'm going to something like analytics, and I can hit pretty code. Where is it? There we go. Turn pretty print on. All right, see how different this looks? This is called obfuscating code. They try to shrink all of your code and minify it, and remove all the blank spaces, and change all the names of your variables to what's called single characters. So if I have a variable called current name, right, it might say David. What they're going to do is they're going to say, instead of current name, just call it A. This way, if I'm going to read that code, it's a little more work for me to understand. But I can hit this one button here called pretty print, and now this code is much, much easier to read and understand. But that's the joy of the web, is that I can see what everybody is doing all the time. So they change the names to make it more difficult for you to understand what's happening, right? So if somebody took a lot of time and effort to create this code and this website, then they may not want to share it, right? But there's no way really hiding code that's done on the web. So what happens is they'll change the names to single characters, so it's more difficult to understand. So like C, I don't know what C is here, right? On the development side, they probably wrote C, var C is, I don't know, might be character. It might be color. So they might be talking about color here. I honestly have no idea. But when they're done, they'll run it through this processor. This processor changes all those names to just one character, because the browser doesn't care what anything is called. You can call variables whatever you want. You want it to be easy for humans to read, but the computer doesn't care. In the end, it's all the same thing. So I'm constantly trying to get people into web development because there's such a high demand for it. There's a number of podcasts you can listen to. I'll show you. The Web Ahead is one of them. This. Fantastic website, and they have quite a few people in the web development community coming together every week to hop on this podcast. And then just talk about what's happening in the web world and web development. Great resource for you. Also, we're going to be going over some JavaScript today. It's going to be a functionality behind the web. So what I did was I put together a study guide for people who are going to learn this language, because it's a very difficult language to learn. It is called JavaScript Study Guide. Okay. Go here, and I don't expect you to understand most of this, or even a lot of this at this point. I just want you to have something you can reference back to or go back to, take a look at, and down the line, every few weeks, as you're starting to learn web development, kind of look back at this and say, oh, you know, now I get what he's saying now, because I didn't know any of this a couple years ago either. Just I kept a notebook of things that I was learning along the way, and then in the end I thought, you know what, this could probably be useful to somebody else someday. So that's why I created a lot of this. Another little JavaScript study guide. Let me show you what else. Here's something else you can do with web development. All right, so it's not just limited to, you know, silly web pages. We can also take this JavaScript code and turn it into full-blown games. So here is Babylon.js. It is a web development framework made by some engineers at Microsoft, my peers on what's called the TED team. So they do technical evangelism like me, but with larger partners like Twitter and Google. So they were a framework that works across all the browsers and allows you to have 3D applications inside. So how many of you have seen Back to the Future before? All right, I'd hope some of you. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to load up this page, and you're going to see this is just running inside the browser, works on all the browsers. It's going to give me a 3D scene of Hill Valley. That's the town that Marty McFly lived in Back to the Future. So do you see that? Popped up. So this is a 3D model that someone created in another tool. Remember those 3D tools we used the other day, Maya and Blender? So somebody made this in those tools, and they hit export, and that means it saved a file of it, dropped it into the browser, and this is what we have. So now you can see I can turn around. It probably doesn't look super smooth for you because it's displaying through Skype. But here is all of Hill Valley in 3D. I'm going to zoom into the car. And look how much detail we have, right? I can see all the years that they're going back in time. I can see information inside the car. I can turn around. I can see the flux capacitor that brought Marty to the past. So all of this inside the browser, and I work on many mobile devices too. So you're not limited to just desktop browsers. I'm trying to think of where else WebGL would be working. How many of you have used PlayStation 4 before? Okay. So that interface, the UI that you see when you load up PlayStation 4, that's written in WebGL as well. So that's JavaScript, that's web code that they have running inside of the browser, or inside of their browser. So what happens is, if you go to PlayStation Store, what they did was they said, hey, you know what? We already wrote this whole PlayStation Store, right, for the web. Rather than rewrite all of it in a different language on the PlayStation console, what if we could take all this web code we already wrote, copy it, and drop it right inside the PlayStation? And that's exactly what they did. So now, if you're a web developer, you're doing great because there's tons and tons of job opportunities, right? This web stuff does not just exist inside the browser on your desktop. It's now on mobile devices. It's on gaming consoles. It's all over. Even better, you can do what's called a tool called Cordova, and you can wrap these websites in a native container, and you can have them work on your device, right? So something like Assassin's Creed Pirates is a game made in WebGL, so in that framework that I showed you before that the TED team had made. They had made it so this works inside the browser. I could play it there, or I can go to something like Google Play or the iOS App Store, and I can run this and play it right now too. Right, so now a game that I wrote one time will now work across multiple platforms. The best of both worlds. But now I've showed you a little bit of this. Let's actually get into some of this code. Let's make sure we're all on the same page. I know some people came a little bit later. Go to Khan Academy. It's a free online learning resource. Log in. Go with either Facebook, Gmail, or your email account. Once you go here, we can log into the Intro to HTML and CSS Making Web Pages lesson. Another reason I wanted to do this was because this will stay with you. So when you go home, you can work on this. You're not limited to just doing it with us. This has nothing to do with Microsoft. This is a free project done by a great computer science company. So Code Academy, Khan Academy, all fantastic resources. I just knew this existed, and that's why I was looking here right away. So the first thing I want us to do together is go to the Welcome World page. So in the chat, I'm trying to open this up. In the chat, let me know when you get to this page, okay? Just say yes in the chat so I know we're all on the same page. Yep. Good. Okay, perfect. In that case, we're going to go on to the next step. First thing we're going to do is intro to HTML. So click on this first lesson, welcome to the web, and we're going to watch a brief video together. We went over that before. You're probably using Chrome. Okay, so we're all done with the video. Sounds like this thing is playing again. Where is the signal? Okay. Yeah, mine's starting to go again. Okay. So hit the next step. And we'll see the code we write on the left-hand side and our results on the right. So it looks like we can control it all down here. Press the play button to watch the video. Okay. And see what this says. So first thing we want to do is start watching this video. On the bottom here, you see we have questions. So we can ask questions along the way, or we can see other questions that people have kind of asked along the way too, right down here. But for right now, I want to keep this focus up here. So let's hit play. Thank you. So when the video is done for you, let me know in the chat. Just say okay. Okay, perfect. So, not bad, right? I know the very beginning can be kind of confusing, especially if you look on the top, they're talking about Meta Car Set, right, and UTF-8. I have never touched that in my life. And honestly, when you go to scaffold websites, that means you'll take a template pretty often, just drop it in and start from there. A lot of that is already done for you, so very, very rarely do I start from scratch when creating a website. We have all kinds of tools called things like boilerplate. So I'll show you. I'll put it in here. I often use something like this, HTML5 boilerplate, made by several developers from Google, which will give you a lot of the stuff to start off with. It'll give you not a blank page, but a nice template to start with. So this way you're not having to enter all these things like head, body, car set, everything else. So don't be too worried about it. But what I do want you to do is take a couple of minutes, tweak some of this HTML here. Right? We can see H1 or header 1 is obviously making something bigger than header 2. So if I go to change this, maybe I'll call it header 3, H3. You have to make sure to close this tag up here, right? H3. Because right now it's saying, I opened this tag, H3, but nowhere did I ever close this. So right here, I've got to say, oh, it's not one. Let me backspace. Yes. Now we look good. So take a few minutes, get comfortable with this, and I'll come right back. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Good question. Is HTML5 the same as HTML? We'll say yes. So what happened is over time, we have to keep advancing the number because the technology gets better and better. So when it first started, HTML, about 20 years ago, we just called it HTML. And then 5 came out in the last like 5 or 6 years, I guess, maybe even less than that. And it has the latest and greatest technology. So when people say HTML, what they really mean is HTML5. Today, it's really just, it's the same thing. If you say HTML5, people will know exactly what you mean. If you say I'm writing in HTML, they also know what you mean too. So HTML5 added a bunch of new things. It added like a WebGL, like I said, for those 3D graphics. It added video, so you can have native video players inside of the browser. So yeah, HTML and HTML5, same thing. Okay, so we've had some fun with this. Let's go on to the next step. So we're going to go from HTML basics to challenge, write a poem. So let's click on this. So now it's going to say to practice the basics, let's have you write a markup poem. To start off with, what will the title of your poem be? So this changes title right here. I'm going to call this Vita. The reason I'm calling it Vita is because I happen to have a PlayStation Vita right here on my desk. So I'm going to make a silly poem about this little piece of hardware that I love. Okay, so we have a title. And now let's see. We can add all kinds of new content to this. We can add headlines. We can add paragraphs. We can add line breaks. So now that my head is done, I'm going to get out of there. And the body is where most of your HTML is going to be. I want to show you something else, too. I can leave what are called comments behind for myself and for other developers. And what this does is it allows me to express what I'm trying to do. So say I'm working on a project with a team, and I'm gone for a couple of days. They may not be able to understand all of my code and what I'm trying to say, so I'll leave behind a few notes to help them understand. Here's how we do it. Remember, we have to do everything with a bracket to open it up, then an exclamation point, hyphen, hyphen. So that means I'm going to start my comment. To close the comment, I need hyphen, hyphen, like that. So I'll put it into the chat. That is an HTML comment. So right here, I can say things like, I'm going to leave my name. I'll know the comment came from me. I'm going to say, start poem here. And now I can continue to write my code. Okay? So I'm going to create a nice header to start. So I'll say H2. I just like that size. And it automatically added the end of the H2 tag for me. Okay? So I'll say, Vita. Color. A little bit about color here. And now I want to have a little paragraph about this. So I'll say P for a paragraph. I'll say white. Because, right, this Vita is white. I close the paragraph. But then my next paragraph, I'll say gray buttons. This P tag again. And you see, I have these little paragraphs separated. But what if I want to have a list? Okay, so I'll go back to, I'll create another heading, H2, and I will call this buttons. Okay? But I want to describe the buttons that I have on this thing. So you see, I have just like a standard PlayStation button, I have triangle, square, circle, and X. So let's write that out, but let's do it as a list. So to start a list, you need something called UL. That means unordered list. That means I'm going to use bullet points. Order does not matter. If you're going to have a numbered list, it's going to be a little bit different, right? Because order will matter if it's number 1, 2, 3. So I'm going to start with a bracket, call it UL. And you see it automatically added the closing bracket for me. Every time you write an HTML, that is a best practice. That means you want to close something as soon as you open it up. And because I'm working on multiple lines, what I'll often do is I will move this closing item down here. Right? This way I can put all my work inside. Even better, you can see it has me indented a little bit, right? It looks as though it had hit tab and bumped me over. And the reason it does that is so it's easier for me to immediately read and see what's going on. So now, to add an item to this unordered list, my bullet points, I'll actually comment this. I'll say unordered list bullet points. So now what this is, I'm going to create my first line item. Li is, see, as soon as I added li, it, boom, added that little dot for me right there, you see? So Let's say triangle. That's the first button. I also need to close out that tag, right? The next button, called li, I'm going to say square. Got to close out those tags. I'll do another line item, say circle. Close out that line item. And final item, we'll say li, cross, we'll call it. Right, because it looks like a little x. And you see, you can understand that my items are indented here. Okay? Still with me so far? Yep. Awesome. So we can add more. We can add an emphasis to this. Okay? So I can say P. Actually, I made another heading. Call it H2. And I'll call this screen. Okay, the paragraph. And I'm going to say the screen is wide. Close that paragraph. But I want to have some emphasis on that wide, right? So what I can do is I can say strong. I've got to close that tag again. And strong, and you see, it bolded those characters. I can also say, maybe I want to emphasize screen. So what I can do is say EM, short for emphasize. I've got to close it. And now the screen is wide. So you get a better understanding of what's happening there. Often people will not put these tags in. You can leave it there for now, but we can also do those parts with CSS. And you'll see most people end up styling their font, their text, and their code in CSS instead of doing it in HTML. But for now, let's leave it there. I will leave that alone for now. So let's go to the next step. Good so far? You like what you've seen? I'm going to assume silence means yes, it is awesome. All right. So next step. Whoops. I think I went ahead and I wrote too much. So you know, go to the next step and follow along here. Right? They're going to say make sure you're using br tags for multiple lines in the poem, not using p tags for a new line. So it's saying, well, maybe I should use br sometimes. And I probably should. So take a few minutes, write your poem. Taking long to run? What do you mean? You may have to try a different browser, Christian. Okay. Ready to move on to the next step? Let's see what else we have here. Actually says I need to use a break tag. So I'm going to create a break tag real quick. So I'm on the same page as you. We'll say I SP, I love my Vita. Paragraph. Need to create some break tags inside there. So let's do br slash. Make sure I have the slash. Not working for me. Say this thing is great. Let's put it beforehand? I don't know. Oh, add another line. Here we go. I love it. Okay, so now I'm good to go. So you can put the br tag after the line and it'll create a break. So say I finished up right here. All right, I got some points. I like it. 1050. I'm gonna go to continue to HTML5 text emphasis. Okay, we're on this page. Let's watch this video. Okay, cool. Finished. So, I'll give you about 30 seconds to play around with those tags real quick and get used to them, or even read some of the comments. Next part. Let's go to challenge. You can learn text tags. Markup text. Okay. So they basically gave us a page and they're saying we want you to highlight or emphasize and bold the words where it makes sense, where it's appropriate. Let's dive into this. We don't have to do the whole thing, but I want to give you about 30 seconds here to kind of see how it can stand out a little bit. So we'll start now, and I'll come back in 1 minute. So she has some time there. We kind of tinkered around with this in the last lesson, right? I showed you how to use the bold and emphasis tag. So let's go into the next part, lists, which I briefly went over with you as well. Let's go down to lists, and let's watch this short video on lists. They're going to talk about unordered, ordered, and numbered lists. Forgot I had my microphone off there. Thanks. So see, we went over lists. There are two types to highlight: unordered, which are the bullet points that we highlighted below, and also ordered lists, which are numbered lists. They look the same in that it's opens up with a UL tag, right? Or an OL tag, and everything else in between is the same line item because they all appear on a different line. So take a second, go through these. Actually, we saw this, but now let's go to the challenge, your learning lists, and let's see what this looks like. So I want you to go through this challenge now. Any questions? Fire away. Oh, and when you're finished, let me know on the left-hand side there. Okay, looks like a lot of people are finished up. Let's get on to the next fun part, images. So, click on images, and we're going to learn a little bit about how to embed these into your page.
Pixels wise.
Okay, so now we see how to embed images. Last challenge of this section before we get on to CSS is actually adding an image yourself. Again, it can be kind of confusing, right, because there's a lot of text to add there, but essentially what we're looking to do is add the source element, so it's the URL or web address that the image is located at, and then alt. You don't have to have alt, but it's useful because if for whatever reason an image does not display, people can still read the text on the page and say, okay, the image didn't display, but I know what should be here. So it might say rabbit. And what alt also does is makes it readable for a number of tools that help out with understanding the web. So maybe not everyone can visualize things as clearly as you and I may be able to. So what this allows you to do is help out people who may be handicapped in some way and actually read the text to them. So that's why it's often important to have that alt tag in there. So let's go to challenges, and I want you to try to embed an image here. Why don't the images need a closing tag? Let me see real quick. Oh, because you know, I'm not sure like why they're not very clear about that. Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't need a tag. Why it does not, I do not know. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I do know. I'm thinking about it. It's because there's nothing you can put in between that image, right? Like the paragraph tag is there because you're going to have the very clear opening of the paragraph. You have some text, and you have to know when to close it. With an image, right, there's nothing to put in between there, right? The image itself is what's getting placed. Okay, on to the next part. We're good? So we understood a bit about HTML, so how we're laying things out on the page, but CSS is where the magic really starts to happen, because right now our page is looking kind of bland. So CSS, a completely different language, will allow us to really start to spice things up, add some color to it. We can add images through CSS as well, and we can also animate a lot of the things that we're doing with CSS. So let's go down here to next section, intro to CSS. When you're ready, let's hit play. When you're done with this video, let me know. Okay, so I've been over very little CSS here just to kind of get you started, but you see within our head we can define that style tag. So there are two ways to really insert CSS into your page. The first is if you want to have one document, right, so this entire page might be called index.html, we can just add our CSS in there just like that. We have a style tag and put our CSS there. Or what we can do is we can actually create another document in any kind of text editor and end it in .css. And what that means is we can then start creating all of these styles. And inside of our HTML page, we can just make a reference to that. So I'll show you how to do that. Give me 1 second. There we go. Instead of writing CSS that way, in the chat there, you can see I can have a link to this CSS sheet. I'll call it mystyle.css. And I can write all those styles, that H2, that body style, I can write it inside of that sheet. And what that allows me to do is very, very easily change the sheet that I'm pointing to, and I can completely change the style or color of my web page. Not bad, right? So I can take my sheet, swap it out with anybody else's, and really get a different look or feel for my site. Pretty hefty. So let's dive into the next part, the challenges. Okay, so we're going to pick an awesome animal to write about. I don't know what you want to do here. Maybe I'll start off with my dog. So I'll do step one with you. Use image picker on your left, show the animal, and paragraphs to write about it. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out, where is this image picker? Okay, so start off with image source. Oops, does not work good for me. Right here, below the header, I'm going to say img, short for image, source equals, and, here we go. Let's pick a file. Let's go to creatures. I am going to do an enemy bug. Perfect. I like it. That's going to be the creature I'm going to talk about, this bug. And you need to add an alt tag, and we'll call it alt equals bug. And close it. There we go. There is my image right there. Okay, so another tag. They want to use strong or EM to describe why the animal is awesome. I'll say. I already have it right here. Okay, V, and I'll say enemy bug is awesome because it is red. Perfect. Now add some style. Okay, so there's no style tag in the page yet, so let's add a new one. So right here on the header, I'm going to add style. What I said right away, I close it. And inside there, I can add all the styles that I want. Next step, CSS all starts the same way. So we are going to call this red. It's our background color. And those little brackets there, That means it's an object. We commonly hear that inside of web development or programming. An object. That is essentially a container for me to put in anything I want. And red is just the name of the variable that I want to use to access it. And a variable simply means a name to reference something. So I can call this whatever I want. I'm just calling it red because that's easy for me to remember. So in this particular case, I know to change the background color, the actual name of the tag is background hyphen color. Equal to red. I don't think I need this, do I? Yeah, I don't. Well, actually, you know what I didn't do? I can put a dot to change names. Or I can use this. But altogether, what I do want to say is I think I can just change background by doing that. First part of your CSS rules selector should tell the browser which tags to apply it to. So I'm saying you're telling the style the background tag, which does not exist. Which tag should I select instead? Maybe I should use a different one, right? So let's see what this hint is telling me. It's not telling me anything about it. So maybe I should look for body, right? Because I know I have this body tag which exists. So let's see if we can change the background color of this body. Instead of background, which doesn't exist yet, let's go to body, and oh, there we go. So when I say tag, they're talking about these little items that we have here. So I'm saying, hey, body, background, let's make it red to match what's happening with our character here. You can also comment CSS. So commenting for CSS is a little bit different. It's a backslash, star, star, backslash. Now I can say this is a CSS comment. Make it look nice and shiny and line it all up. This is what I would do. I have all my stars. And there we go. That is a comment in CSS. I'll copy and paste it in there for you. So I'll go to the next part. Match the text color. Okay. So I can look and I can say, let's change the color of the paragraph. So, let's see. I know the P tag, so I'll say P, right, because the P tag exists. That's our paragraph. And then I need to create an object. I'll say a comment here. Change the text color. So, this color, I am going to call it color colon. Let's call it yellow. There we go. We're all to the same part. Match the heading color. So I know that I have this H1 tag, so there's something else I can do here. I can either say H1, I create my new CSS object, and I could also say color equal to yellow, right? With me so far? Because I'm about to blow your minds with the next step. What else I can do is instead of that, right, I'll comment that out for now. It's all commented out. I can also do a comma and put H1. Aha. So that means that this variable and this variable will both have this style applied to it. It's good if you want to save some space along the way. All right, I got some points. I like it. Take a minute, go through that, and we'll go on to the next part. Okay, ready to go to the next part? Let's go to CSS selecting by ID. And let's watch this video. If you're done with this, let me know. All right. So on to the next part. Let's go to challenge seasonal IDs. So IDs are useful for when you only have one of a particular object in a page. So a class is something you want to use if you're going to apply it to multiple objects, but an ID is unique, and there can only be one of that ID on each page, right? So let's look at like a classroom, right? There may be many students, so I'd apply that class to many students, right? Maybe I'd apply the class of brown hair to all these students. But if I want to find an individual student, what I would say is I'd use ID, so it's dot, and I'd use someone's last name. My last name is Voiles, so I'd say dot V-O-Y-L-E-S, and what that does is it targets that specific person on that page. So that's the best way to look at it. If you need to grab a bunch of things, you use a class. If you need to grab one unique item, you use an ID. So let's start with this first object right here. Talk about Olaf's favorite seasons. So I'm sure you're familiar with Frozen. I know I've seen it quite a few times. So we're going to talk about Olaf, the snowman, and what his favorite season is, right? So let's get started on the ID here. You can see in this H2 tag, it says ID equals summer. And because we only have one summer object on the page, I would use ID here. And we have another ID for winter. So we can do whatever we want. We can style these. So in this style tag up top, I could say dot. That's how I access an ID. So I'm saying look for the ID of summer. Right? Remember, it's an object. So I'm going to say color colon yellow. Do anything. So instead, what I can do is I can say, I think it was a font color or a text color ID. Oh, sorry, not dot. Dot is class. I apologize. Yes, the hashtag. I got those mixed up real quick. oh, yellow's kind of hard to see. Let's call it red. You're right. Sorry, it is hashtag, not a dot. So summer will say red, and for winter, we need our object, and let's call winter color blue. Perfect. Let's go on to the next. All finished. Yeah, like a boss. So he's got the sunglasses on. Gathered 1,500 points. So you're done there. Let's go to selection by class. When you're done, let me know. Done with the video? So we're going to see a little bit about selecting by class. Again, if we're looking to grab more than just that one unique element on a page, a class is the way to go. So let's go over to apples and bananas classes. And here we go, right? It'd be kind of a project for me to go and style each one of these, right? If I'm trying to add strong or change the color to everything marked apples. So instead, what I can do is I can go to a class and I can say dot apples, create an object. And I'm gonna say color equals red. Okay, bananas. Object, I'll say same thing. Color equals yellow. Not bad, right? Try out the same. And the next step, we can add some more classes. So maybe I'll do something like 8. So I will say around class, I'll say around 8, I'll say class equals 8. Whoops, let me see what I do wrong here. What I do wrong. Yep. Add, there we go. A little mark around it. Whoops, I did something wrong there. So instead of this, let's do paragraph. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Paragraph. And inside of our paragraph, we're going to have a class applied to it. Our closing tag. Oh, it didn't close it. That's why. It does not like that paragraph tag. I do not know why. Oh well. I'll skip that for now. Add the apples classes to the first strong in it. Okay. The final line of the song has no classes. Okay, kind of the final line. Let's add a class to it. So strong, inside the strong tag. Okay. So inside of my strong tag, I'm going to apply a class. I'll say class equals apples. Oops, I'd have add as a string. It's very careful. Apple. And for bananas, I'm going to add this. Class equals, oops, actually apples it should be. And class equals bananas. There we go. So we got to put the class within a tag. On the same page? Perfect. All right. to finish up. All right. So quiz, CSS selectors. Uh-oh, let's see what this is about. Oh, okay. In CSS, how would you select all of the P tags on a page? What do you think? One, two, three, or four? Put it in the chat, and that's what I'll put in. One, okay, so one is this right here. Two, this is for IDs. This is for classes. And this is just declaring that I'm creating a P tag. So let's see. I will go to number one because William thinks it is. Check answered. You, sir, are correct. And there's a reason for that. So the first one is grabbing all of those tags. The second one is grabbing only tags with that ID. The third one is grabbing all of the classes that have this applied, that dot operator. And the last one means I'm just going to create a paragraph tag right now. So next question. How would you select an image by its ID? So what would I do here? One, two, three, or four? So let's see. This is going to grab everything with the image tag. This is going to grab every... actually, I don't know. This isn't going to do anything at all. This is going to grab everything with the class, right? Dot means class. This is going to grab everything with the ID. That's good. Check answer. And there we go. Next, how would you select only paragraphs with the class name warning? Well, it's going to say only paragraphs, so right away you might look at this, but we know that's going to grab all paragraphs, so we don't want this one. Go up here. Again, this is for IDs. We do not want this one. I know right here, if I go to warning, it's going to grab all tags warning, but we don't know this is the thing as a warning tag. And finally, right here, this is going to grab just things with the ID, I'm sorry, with the class name. So dot is class with the class name warning. Three. Okay. The following table lists selectors in the left column, HTML tag in the right column. Match the selectors to the tag. Ooh, it's going to be good. So, I see we have to drag them. Gotcha. So I want to get dot info. I'm looking for the class of info. Class of info. Good. Drag this up top. I'm looking for the ID of info. That looks good to me. ID equals info. I'm going to go down a little bit more. I'm looking for something with the ID main. That's class main, so that's wrong. Swap that. And finally, dot operator gets our class. So class equals main, main. We're good. Like a boss. I got 400 points right there. I like it. So we've done quite a bit today. Let's get out of this for now, but we will come back to Khan Academy perhaps at some other point. I just wanted to make you aware of what Khan Academy is. So let's go back to our main page here, top left corner. It'll bring us to the homepage of Khan Academy. Again, you can log in at any point and see everything you're doing here. They have all kinds of lessons to learn for not only web development, but programming and other things as well. I love resources like this. I wish they had tools like this when I was in school. I didn't study computer science. I studied communications, and I went back to school for business. And I learned computer science on my own from reading books and watching a lot of YouTube. And it was only 3 years ago. So I look at this, and this is amazing. There was nothing like this even 3 years ago when I was learning programming computer science. So take advantage of it. It's there for a reason. Something else I want to show you. We have Microsoft Virtual Academy. How many of you have been here before? Wow, I actually redid the whole front page of it. So Virtual Academy is our free online learning resource for developers. So it's often put together by our engineering teams, but also like folks like myself who are in evangelism. So we'll create content, we'll fly out to Redmond, and we'll record it there. So this way people can jumpstart and get started on any of these things. So things that might be useful to you, maybe this HTML5 and CSS, or also look at this for beginners. So I'm going to look at this HTML5 and CSS, right? So we have everything for HTML and CSS for absolute beginners. This would be a fantastic course for you to look at right there. Bob Tabor. So this guy is great, great, great. Bob Tabor doesn't work for Microsoft. I think he's just an MVP. But I actually learned how to program C# and make video games from his website, learnvisualstudio.net, about 3 years ago. So I paid $100 for the course, I think, and downloaded all the videos. Fantastic. And now we're good friends. And I follow a lot of stuff that he does because he's just a fantastic teacher. So I'd really, really encourage you to take a look at this video class, HTML5 and CSS for absolute beginners. So it'll take you time to learn this, right? It's an uphill battle. It might be difficult to learn at first, but I assure you it gets so much better. And then once you learn how to program, it completely opens up new doors to you. I've never found an unemployed programmer. So I was doing construction before, then I started doing programming, and it was just so much more fun. But also, anything I could think of, I could just start to make. Games, websites, applications. I could look at the web and understand how it was pieced together. So it's an absolute blast to be able to be a part of this. I'd love to see some of you do this as well. Again, we have more beginner courses here. Actually, some of these I end up looking at quite a bit too. Because even though I do programming, there's still tons of information I don't know. So you'll come to understand that programming is so massive that nobody could know everything about it. So like database fundamentals, I'm still not very good with databases, so I'll look at this. Scratch is awesome. If you haven't looked at Scratch, it's an MIT project. It's great to work with. Even things like IoT. I had built some projects before. Like years ago, I had done, let me see if I can find it. Okay. I had built computers into my car when I was in college. So I didn't know anything about electrical engineering, but I just wanted to learn how to make things. So again, the internet was my friend. I just hopped online and started making things. And I wish that we had some of these videos before, because I'll show you. Here is a link to something I was doing before and explain how I do this. A lot of this is electrical engineering, not really software side, but there's some software in there. But you can see how I started to piece all these things together by just looking online and asking people and going to forums and finding out. I had no idea what I was doing. But as you slowly start to build these things, work on these projects, these websites, you'll build confidence and knowledge to keep going from there. So again, I'll often look at how a lot of these things work, like IoT, and I'll get a good idea of how to keep building content. Finally, when you are ready to publish your websites, what you can do is, that's not what we're looking for. This is a little complicated. When we are ready, we can create websites and we can host them on Azure. So Azure is Microsoft's cloud. It's our servers that allow us to serve websites and content to people. So for a while, I just used WordPress.com. So it's a free version of WordPress. And later on, what I decided to do was take that and move it to Azure so I could do things like run JavaScript on it and have a lot of plugins. So now if you go to DaveVoiles.com, that's my site, you can see how I have WordPress running on Azure as well. So a site is a great place to showcase your content, your work, illustrate what you're doing. The more active you are online, the easier it is for you to find jobs, to make new friends in similar areas. I made so many friends online just from having a website or being active in forums, and then they found that we just have similar hobbies, right? Maybe they stumble across some of the games that I had made and said, whoa, like you do JavaScript games too, so do I. Explain to me how you did it. So the final part I'll show you is my site here. So here's my personal site. Let's look. Right here we have HTML5 JavaScript. I will click on this tab, give it to you. And this showcases just some of the work that I put together, right? So all of the games on this page I made using what I showed you today. HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. They play inside the browser. They also play on mobile devices and on the desktop machine. So you can go to Windows 8 and you could play some of these games today. I'll go look for a Super R-Type Redux right now. See, it's going to load this web page for this game. You're not going to have any audio, but you'll be able to at least see what I'm doing here. So again, I wrote this in nothing but JavaScript. I did not know the language. I just figured it out. So, whoops. Enter. Now see, this is just me manipulating those images that you saw before on screen and using CSS to change the colors. So you have the turrets. I can slow things down. A little bullet time. Whee! I have little homing missiles. So that is the power of JavaScript. It's not just limited to silly single pages. Now you can create entire games and applications. Not bad, right? So that's about all that we have today. Do any of you have questions for me? Nope, nothing? Okay, perfect. Well, you're free to go then. I think we meet again in a few weeks. I'll have to look at my calendar, but hopefully learn quite a bit. And again, give kudos to Anthony. I want to thank Anthony for putting this together for us because it's helped out quite a bit. So hopefully you learned a bit from this too. So just let him know that it was useful if you thought it was. All right. Thanks everyone again for showing up. I appreciate it. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out.